This goes to Dr. Renfer, R E N like November, F like Frank, E R. Fax 989-463-1534. Regarding Janet Hanus, H A N U S, date of birth 12/29/1943. Dear Dr. Renfer, this is an urgent follow-up visit for Mrs. Hanus, whose last visit was February 16th, 2026. She's been to the ER several times, and many medications were discontinued due to angioedema. And that would include Buspar, Clonidine patch, Diltiazem, Lorazepam, Zofran, Zoloft, Simethicone capsules for gas, the Terazosin, and Timolol eye drops. Her current medications are Carvedilol, 25 milligrams twice a day, vitamin B12 injections, a multivitamin, Tylenol if needed, vitamin D2, magnesium, and Traceba insulin, 14 units a day. But after all the medications were discontinued, in addition to that, there was also Irbesartan, 300 milligram daily, that she had been on for many years, and that was stopped initially in the ER even before angioedema started. And she has lost 4 pounds since she was seen February 16th this year, but blood pressures have been very, very high. She brings her list starting on June 19th. The ranges are between 160 up to 200 over 54, and the highest diastolic was 67. Pulse rates are 58 and up to 71. On June 21st, blood pressure was slightly improved, but still 170s to 180s. Over 70, 60 to 70. And in the middle of the night, she checked blood pressure, and it was 200 over 70, 163 over 58, pulses off 62. She does not have symptoms with the high blood pressures, but of course she's worried about the readings being that high, with only one antihypertensive still remaining. No one is sure what caused the angioedema, and she still has some swelling under each eye. And what would happen is she would wake up in the morning with her eyes swelled shut, and then she couldn't open them up for several hours. And that does not happen now that all the other medications have been stopped. There is some concern that it may be food-related, and she is trying to work on determining what foods could be bringing on symptoms of angioedema. Currently, no chest pain or palpitations, no dyspnea, cough, or sputum production, no blood or melena in the stool, urine is clear without cloudiness or blood, and no peripheral edema. Physical exam, weight 113 pounds. Pulse is 72 and regular. Blood pressure, left arm, large adult cuff, 206 over 72, and her machine read 204 over 76. So her machine is actually very accurate. Neck is supple without jugular venous distension. Lungs are clear without rails, wheezes, or effusion. Heart is regular without murmur, rub, or gallop. Abdomen soft, non-tender, no ascites, and no peripheral edema. And labs, most recent lab studies were done June 19th of 2026. Creatinine was improved at 1.13. Estimated GFR is 49. Calcium is 9.6. Albumin 4.2. Phosphorus 3.5. Sodium was 135, potassium 4.4, carbon dioxide 25, magnesium was 1.8, intact parathyroid hormone 57.3, hemoglobin is 10.3, normal white count, normal platelets, and to normal differential levels. And her protein to creatinine ratio is very elevated at 3.21. Assessment and plan, gross proteinuria without symptoms of nephrotic syndrome because of normal albumin levels and no peripheral edema in the extremities. But she's been taken off the irbesartan for several months, and we need to gradually reintroduce that. So we are going to start irbesartan, and that is 75 milligrams once a day for a week. And then we want her to check a renal panel. If the potassium and creatinine levels are stable, we're going to increase to 150 milligrams daily. Hopefully titrate her back up to 300 milligrams daily while she checks her blood pressure regularly. The goal, before all these meds were discontinued, her blood pressure was 160 over 60, usually, when she was seen. So the patient also has diabetic nephropathy that is stable, but the gross proteinuria should be effectively treated with the irbesartan, and we will try to get that up back up to 300 milligrams a day over the next month. And she's going to have a follow-up visit with this practice in 2 weeks. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.